I'm a park ranger and I dig danger, dream of it night and day. And God.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And yes, I'm sounding a little nasally because I am a little ill today. But I'm here with you anyways. That should be motivation enough right there to listen to the program. Over there is Stephen Labadie. He is not well either. So anybody that comes in this area today is going to get home with a nice little gift from us.
I'm not bad as you. I'm just like, I have like a dry cough cold thing.
Oh.
But hopefully I don't get what you have because...
No.
We're stuck in this big tubular box.
You're going
here.
Out this evening? Where are you going this evening?
I'm going out for dinner with some friends.
How did I know
and
that?
Then we're
how did I know that? Tell
bottles.
Folks how I knew that. Like, I'm clairvoyant. Now, you got to admit, it is spooky, isn't it? seriously, admit it. It's spooky how I can
you could tell because my hair's done.
Right. Exactly.
It's all cut, ready
because,
for Christmas.
Because when you're not going out, you don't even shower.
I shower.
No, you don't.
I always shower. I just don't
do
my
don't.
Hair.
No, you don't.
Oh, yeah.
You
how do you know?
Shower because you can't shower without doing your hair.
No.
How the hell do you shower without doing your hair?
You wash it out and you don't put gel in it. It's pretty simple. You don't put gel in the shower.
No. What's gel got to do with washing your hair?
I wash my hair and then I get out of the shower and then I do my hair with gel. It's not magically appears like this. I have a comb.
You mean you have to work at that?
Yeah. Your hair dryer and all that type
no
of
way.
Jazz. Yeah.
Oh, because I could swear I challenged you on that once before, and you said sometimes you don't even shower if you're not doing anything.
No, I shower.
Oh.
I never said that. I always shower in the morning. I can't shower. I can't do a day without showering.
All right.
It's gross.
I'm just checking. I don't want to insist on something I don't know for sure.
Oh, okay.
All right. I know this guy showers each and every day because he's got nothing else to do. He probably showers 3 or 4 times a day. His name is John Winters. He is the producer of this wonderful program. He's on the line right now. Johnny! All right, so there you go. Hey, Johnny, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. What are you doing talking to other people when you need to be on the air with me?
I don't know. I actually have to do another radio show at 10 o'clock, and then I'm going to a funeral. So.
All right. Well, we don't want to take you up. First of all, folks just joining us, that's the Honorable John Jakubowski on the phone with us.
Oh, we're on the air already. Okay.
Let me ask you again. How are you doing, John?
I am doing great, Angel. How about you?
I'm sicker than a dog, if you really want to know. I came in here only because I had to.
Cold, I can tell that.
But other than that, I'm feeling great. Physically, health-wise, I'm fantastic.
Your heart issues, all good?
Yeah, I'm fantastic, buddy. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Outstanding. So it's the end of the year. Obviously, regardless of whether we work in the private sector, the public sector, the government sector, we all at the end of the year kind of look back and reflect on how the year went. And we wanted to do that with you today, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely,
and,
absolutely,
you know,
for sure.
Yeah, kind of see where we've been, how we got there, and where we want to go. And the first thing I got to get off of my table. First and foremost, otherwise my listeners would form a posse and a lynch mob and come out and get me. I want to talk to you about that two-rod carp thing that we've been talking about for years. And I know you finally got something going with it earlier on this year. Maybe you can fill us in and let us know where that is.
Yeah, of course, we had, you know, had contact with the federal minister on the two-line carp. And our history on this has always been a good one with the federal government with regards to requests from the province to make changes, even though the federal government has the final say on those issues.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, the government in Ottawa kind of went into limbo, if you want to call it that, and then it went into, you know, the full election mode.
Right.
And I have not had an answer from the feds on this. Because then, of course, then they had a change in minister. So I've reached out to the new minister, Minister Jordan, and we're hoping to get some kind of a clarification on this as quickly as possible. I mean, we're 100% behind it, as you know, Angelo, and Michael. It was you and me and Michael Tobolo that kind of kicked this started. Well, you really, because you're the one who brought it to our attention, but... I mean, Michael was like, he couldn't get on it fast enough, you know?
Yeah.
And then we find out that regardless of what how we feel about it, it has to be sanctioned by the federal government. So that's kind of where we are right now, and we're going to keep pushing that, and hopefully, you know, they get their feet on the ground, you know, as they just new cabinet, some new changes, and we can get to work on this in a more you know, fulsome way.
Because, you know, as you know, it to me anyways, and you and I have talked about this at length, it's really a pretty simple process. I mean, if everybody really understood what's at hand here, I can't help but get the feeling that they would have made this decision a while back and say, yeah, of course we're going to give carpers two rods. I mean, this is ridiculous. Why are we even spending time on this? But sometimes it's frustrating, right?
You know, maybe it's just like a typical thing that's tied up in this bureaucratic sort of merry-go-round, but hopefully, you know, when somebody actually looks at what we're talking about here,
yeah,
and sees that we're not breaking new ground here. This is in place in so many other jurisdictions, this is not of any threat to a species whatsoever.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not only you know, great economically, and going to be great for the tourism business, and great for us. It's environmentally completely defendable, sustainable, conscious.
Yeah,
we're 100% on board here.
All right. Well, I'll leave it again in your hands, and hopefully we can get things moving. Hopefully we won't be here a year from now saying the same thing. That's what we need to work towards,
exactly.
I suppose.
No, yeah. I'm with you there, my friend. I'm with you there for sure.
All right. All right, now talk to me about moose. Where are moose in the big picture here in Ontario? I'm talking about what have we done, and where are we? How do we feel about the whole moose management thing?
Well, we put out our you know, the Big Mac committee that we established early last year did their seven open houses, round tables all across the province, and also we got feedback from you know, hunters and non-hunters throughout the entire province, because it was on the Poly EBR posting. We received all that, and we're now just, you know, going through the final stages, and we have to make some final decisions pretty soon on the stuff that is planned for implementation 2020, mm-hmm. Because people need to know, right? I mean, we got to get the hunting regulations out and all of that kind of thing. But we feel pretty positive about what we're doing. Moose is, Angelo, anybody that tells you that moose is not a challenge here, it is. It's, you know, it's a tough population. It's not where we'd like it to be. The reality is it's subject to, you know, a lot of different forces that impact it. I don't know that, you know, wherever we end up, we will have people who will be very, very happy with the changes we've made, and we will have some people that are not satisfied with it. But we are faced with the challenge. We don't have, you know, the fortunate situation of, you know, Cape Breton National Park, where has the biggest concentration of moose in the world, or Newfoundland in general, where right. they have no predators. I mean, Newfoundland has a tremendous moose population because they have no, there's no wolves in Newfoundland. So,
I'm glad you said that, you know, because as you're saying that, John, I'm thinking, you know, you could be talking about any one of the natural elements that are within your portfolio. Now, we're talking about moose right now, but it really doesn't matter. You could substitute that for trees. You could substitute that for earth. Any one of the elements. And the reason I say is because you've got so many factors and so many user groups that affect the final result. It's just insanity at best. At best, it's insanity. And because I don't believe it can be managed. I really don't. I think the minute that you have so many elements and so many different stakeholders that have different opinions, I just think it makes it for a nightmare to manage. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
No, Angelo, you're not wrong. It will always require constant monitoring and analysis of where we are. And, you know, I plan to go up in the helicopter in January to do work with some on the doing some of the moose surveys.
Nice.
See firsthand what we're doing. Because, you know, I'm a hands-on guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know or not, but I actually got to operate a feller buncher in the bush this
Look
fall.
At you.
So, yeah, And I hunted this year for the first time in 17 years, Angel.
Nice.
Went deer hunting with our son there and a couple of the grandkids as well. So it was really good. It was really good. We're just going to constantly have to be monitoring this and making sure that we're prepared to deal with things as they come up. There is a couple of things I know that are already on the posting that I'm not going to proceed with. Or we'll modify them from the proposal based on feedback we've gotten. So, but I think where we end up, will I think in general will be received fairly well.
First and foremost, did we put any meat in the freezer for the family?
There is lots of meat in the freezer. There's lots hunting and then bow hunting after that. Zachary would say probably there's still room, but nobody's going to be going hungry.
John, before I let you go, I need to ask you. I want from you the highs and the lows. I need a high and I need a low. In your opinion, from this, since you took over the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, let's not forget that. What's been the high note? What have you been able to either accomplish, or what did you experience that you can honestly look back and say, "Wow, that was outstanding."
Because it's we've been working on it since we got there. We just recently released our forest sector strategy, Angelo, which I toured the province. I've got all kinds of feedback on, and we posted now our draft strategy, and also posted yesterday entrenching the Crown Forest Sustainability Act as the guiding. As the guide for forestry in Ontario when it comes to protection of species as well. So I think what we've done, the changes and advancement we've made in this past year, we're not there yet, but are really going to help our forest industry, which is a huge part of our economy. There's no question about that. I would say that to me is the biggest single high point of the year in my ministry. And on the low side, it's the water levels and it's the flooding that so many people were impacted tremendously negatively this spring and continue to be, on the Great Lakes watershed as well. It is something that has, where is taxing the abilities of every one of us to manage and to cope with. As it's, because we had two major events just separated by 1 year, which was a bit of a reprieve.
Yep.
And we're very concerned about, where we go with water and our limited ability. As you know, I had a flood advisor this year that gave us a report, quite an extensive report, but our limited ability to actually control nature. Some people think we are man and we are king and we can control everything, but we can't. But that was certainly the low point as the Minister of Natural Resources, which we are the front line when it comes to flooding here in the province of Ontario. That would be the low for sure.
And I'm glad you approached it from the standpoint that Mother Nature at the end of the day dictates what happens, because, I'm thinking there's a lot of people out there that are affected by the floodwaters that we've been experiencing for the last several years in the spring and thinking, well, why doesn't M&R just close that gate and open up that gate and make it all go away? And really at the end of the day, it's not in your control at all.
Well, if the water was a limited amount, the purpose of those do have their water management, but they're not water control facilities. And when the water becomes more than any one of them can handle, it's just like once your bathtub overflows,
That's for sure. Okay, I got one more hot potato to throw in your lap, and then
Give it to me, buddy.
Okay, all right. We have you coming on this program on several occasions, and you talked to us about you shared your emotions with us about cormorants, and you started January 3rd, I think it was, this EBR on cormorant control, if you will. or on the 12th of January. I can't remember. There's two dates here that, correspond to that. How are we, why, like, when are you and I going to go out cormorant hunting, I guess is what I'm asking.
I believe we're going to do it, not this year, because this year is almost over, but next year. We had to do it by legislation. As it turned out, we could not do it under regulatory, just by changing regulations. We had to do it by legislation. So on December 10th, Bill 138 passed and received royal assent, and those amendments were brought into legislation. They're law now.
Yeah.
So now we have to go through the regulatory process, how we put in the regulations. For example, you know, without tipping my hand, somebody in my department is probably going to be upset, for example, but we had put out, for example, that you could, you could harvest 50 birds a day.
Yep.
I can tell you it isn't going to be 50.
Right.
So, we now have to finish dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and finishing the regulations so that we can actually put out a hunting regulation establishing cormorants as a game bird so that we can have regulations in place. So I'm not the one that writes all that, but I'm confident we'll get it done for this season.
By the way,
they're not here now anyway, so we're giving them a break. They're giving us a break.
By the way, if any of those people that you referred to are listening to this program, and you mentioned the number 50, saying we're not going to have 50 as limit, I want to follow that up by saying 50 ain't enough.
Yeah, I know for some people, I realize that, but at the same time,
it's crazy.
There's always tomorrow.
John, listen, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you being open and transparent with us on the program, and your personality, your emotions, and how you handle your position comes through this mic each and every time you join us, and we truly, truly appreciate that, and keep up the good work, my friend.
And a very Merry Christmas to you, your family, and all the listeners out there in Ontario, every angler, every hunter, every citizen, on behalf of my wife and our children, grandchildren, our family, the very best of the season to you.
Thank you, John. The Honorable John Jakubowski, Minister of Natural Resources and Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry. Not to forget that. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.